All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, week 11 edition of the show, and I apologize for missing last week's show. And, you know, they canceled school when I really didn't think they needed to. And normally it's just a perfect day for me to do my show on Thursdays when I've got some time to myself and it's quiet. And then having the kids at home all the way through the end of last week, it just didn't work out. And I apologize to you guys for that because you deserve a show every week. But we are back now for the first time in 2 weeks. And hey, a lot's happened since then, right? The last time I talked to you, we were getting ready for the Saints game. And if I had done a show last week, I'm going to tell you today instead. I would have told you all about how you don't want to overreact to one game. And I'm going to tell you that again this week after the Bucs get a great win against Carolina, which, you know, anytime you win on the road in the division is a good win. Carolina is not necessarily a good team this year, but the Bucs double them up, 46-23. We'll talk all about it today. And, of course, we'll look ahead to the Monday night game here at home, which we've all been looking forward to since the schedule came out, as the Bucs will host the Rams at 8:20 on Monday night. The Free Stretch, like it always is, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, our good friends just a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, where you can go check them out in person. But you don't have to do that. They've got a great website, too. And I always tell you guys, if you don't, you know, especially COVID, everything going on now, and it seems like there's been some upticks and things like that, if you're more comfortable just doing it online, BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E is how they spell Curry. BillCurryFord.com. Look at all the inventory, new, pre-owned, used, whatever it is. They will bring to your house or office or wherever you want them to whatever car you want to test drive. So you don't even have to go for a test drive. They can bring that to you. And if you end up buying it, they'll deliver it to you just the same. And if you do all those things, no matter how you do it, nationwide, unlimited lifetime warranty, you can always bring your car back to Bill Curry Ford if you have engine trouble, and it will be covered under the warranty. And that is not a common thing in a lot of places. So in addition to the first year, on, you know, the service you get, both your oil changes for the first year, you take them in, no problem. 10 years roadside assistance, these are all things you get. Check them out. Again, the website's BillCurryFord.com or visit them a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. They're just north of Hillsboro. So looking at what happened in the Saints game, and like I told you, I would have told you this past week, hey, I mean, that sucks. There's no question that sucks. It particularly sucks not because of the score. I don't really care about the score all that much, but it would have sucked because you hate to lose to a division opponent twice, especially the only other one you're really competing with for the division title. But it's just one game. A half game behind the Saints is not a big deal, albeit it's more like a game and a half because you don't have the tiebreaker. Move on. 6-3, no big deal. And the Bucs did just that in Charlotte on Sunday, dealing with adversity right out of the gate because they had their flight delayed at Tampa International for 7 hours. And reportedly, they were on the tarmac for like 4 or 5 of those hours. You can delay my flight, okay? And I'm not a football player, but I mean just a commercial flight. You can delay my flight. That sucks, but I can adjust. Do not put me on the plane and then make me sit there on the runway in the plane. If you're going to delay me, send me home, or I can stay at the airport. I can live with that. There, I can do push-ups. I can find a spot in the corner, you know, whip open my laptop, whatever. That's fine. But do not put me in an airplane seat with the plane not going anywhere on the runway where I can see my home city all around me, and I can see the terminal, and I have to sit there in the airplane. It's really a wonder that none of the Bucks got arrested for rage monstering or something on the plane, if that's really how long they had to sit on the tarmac. So they didn't even get to Charlotte till like after midnight, the night before their game. Had a 1 o'clock game the next day, came out and took care of business against the team who, again, I know they're not very good, and they didn't have McCaffrey on top of that. Even with McCaffrey, they haven't been very good. But 46-23, and by the way, that's the first time in the history of the National Football League that any game has ended with a final of 46-23, which I thought was a pretty cool stat. There's a Twitter account called Scoregami, and they keep track of all that stuff. And they even tell you, like, in the middle parts and late parts of the game, all right, right now there's a 40% chance of landing on a Scoregami. The most likely outcome is the, and they actually, it probably doesn't mean anything, but it's just fun to follow. So 46-23, 39-23 has happened before. I think it might have happened in a Super Bowl, actually, with the Giants-Broncos, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, It wasn't until that last Bucks touchdown to make it 46-23 that they got the scoregami there. So that was cool. And of course, had some neat moments. The game was tight until the point where the Panthers punted, and they got a great punt that rolled and curled just in front of the goal line down at the 2-yard line. Bucks only led 20-17 at that point. And then, of course, Ronald Jones broke off the 98-yard run, which was the longest play from scrimmage in Buccaneer history. Actually, it was the longest play in Buccaneer history because they haven't even had a return over 98 yards. So if you go by NFL history, obviously 99 yards is the longest possible play from scrimmage, not counting like kickoff returns from the back of the end zone or interception returns and stuff like that. And there's only been 16, and this surprised me, I thought there had been more, but I looked it up. There's only been 16 plays in the history of the NFL that went for 99 yards, 13 passes of 99 yards, and just 3 runs. So Ronald Jones's play of 98 ties, I guess you could say, for 17th longest play from scrimmage in NFL history. And it came at a nice time because, again, the game was getting tight there. The Bucs seemed like they should be winning by more. They had left some points on the field. And when he made the 98-yard run, very well blocked by not just the offensive line, but Cameron Brate as well, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But when he made the 98-yard run, looking like he was going to get caught from behind for a minute there and then finding a way to accelerate out of it, it felt like everything was going to be okay in Charlotte, and it was as the Bucs went on to get the win. So the offensive line play was much improved. Now, they made a change on Sunday with the line because if you remember last week when Ali Marpet, and we're still not sure what's going on with him this week definitively. I'm recording this on Thursday morning. I would hope he's okay for Monday. But he missed the Saints game, and then it didn't go well. They had Joe Haig over there at left guard instead. So for this game instead, they put Ryan Jensen, moved him from center to guard, and put a substitute in at center instead. That was A.Q. Shipley, the veteran who Bruce Arians knows and loves. And they did a hell of a job. The whole line did a hell of a job. Now, I'm not scapegoating Haig because it has to be said that the Saints have a fierce and ferocious defensive front. And Carolina's is not that. They only had 9 sacks coming into the game in 9 weeks, and it's just not a good offense. And even Brian Burns, who is very good, Brian Burns is the number 3 edge guy rated by Pro Football Focus, but even he wasn't 100% playing with a little bit of an injury, and that pass rush as a whole is almost non-existent. So, just to be fair to Joe Haig, you know, it's easy to say, oh, they got rid of Joe Haig and now they did better. You know, they weren't going up against the Saints either. And Donovan Smith, to his credit, played a really good game. And if you go on Twitter, a good guy to follow is Stephen Shea. He spells it C-H-E-A-H. He does good breakdowns and stuff of individual players. And on film, he'll show you stuff. And he did a good one with Donovan Smith and of Cameron Brate as well about how well those guys did. But Donovan Smith had a really good game Sunday. We always want to mention it. Tristan Wirfs continues to be an absolute stud. And he was going up against Burns. And again, Burns is good, unlike the rest of the Carolina defensive front. Although not being 100%, I'm not sure how close to 100% he was. But Wirfs was the number 4 rated offensive lineman of all positions on the offensive line, not just right tackles or even tackles. Number 4 PFF grade for Week 10. He is, at this point, and they showed a little video compilation on the Pro Football Focus website, he is by far, and I've talked about this before, by far the best of those linemen that we were all talking about coming into the draft and about how, oh, you know, who can we get? Can we get any of them, whether it's Mekhi Becton, Jedrick Wills, Andrew Thomas, Wirfs, okay, are any of these guys going to be left around? What if we get hosed and we don't get one? And the Bucs, I mean, remember after the draft when we were talking about that trade-up they did for one pick and how they gave up the, what was it, the 3rd or 4th or 5th round? I don't even remember right now what round. And that's the point. I said no one's going to care about that if Wirfs is good. The whole point's to get a good player. If you felt like you weren't totally sure and you need to move up one spot just to get him, then F it, just trade the pick, who cares? You know, if Wirfs the guy you think he is, no one's going to call you on it. And that is, obviously, would anybody want to take that chance now? You know, just in case, and they probably could have gotten him without trading, but just in case, just get your guy. And he has been the best of all of them. And if there was a redraft right now, he would easily be the top tackle taken off the board. It might even be higher just overall, not just tackles, but I mean, the Bucs got both, they did a good job with their draft, but they also got really, really lucky that he was the last one of those tackles available because he has outperformed everybody. And right now there is a legitimate case. I retweeted a little tweet with a video about it on my Twitter account, at Bobby Game Day. But there's a legitimate case right now, and he will not win this because I don't give this award to offensive linemen. But you could say he's the offensive rookie of the year, period, in the NFL right now. I mean, he is really good, and he looks like a 10-year veteran, and he's a rookie, and we've got him. And that feels really, really good. And the offensive line play is so important with someone like Brady, who, you know, isn't the most mobile guy ever and is so good when he just got a little bit of time and doesn't need a ton of it. And the offensive line giving it to him, you see the results. You saw what happened on Sunday. And how good did Brady look like with his throws? Like, he was, even the ones that were incomplete, like there was a couple plays in the end zone. One went off Tyler Johnson's hands. One went off Mike Evans' hands. And they weren't like easily catchable balls or anything. I'm not calling them straight up drops. But one of the reasons they weren't easily catchable balls is because Brady had to fire them in there. And they were just freaking darts. I mean, his arm, I mean, say what you want about his age or his legs, but Tom Brady's arm, there is no issue. Whatever that pliability stuff is, you know, I might have laughed at the whole TB12 thing before, but I'm about to go out and get that book now. I saw some on clearance at Target the other day over there on Gandy. And, I mean, he is slinging the ball like it's the same way I can, actually better than I can throw my son's little Nerf balls in the garage. You ever pick up your kids' like toy footballs and fantasize about having bigger hands? Is that just me? Should I not even admit to this? Because I pick up my son's like the three-quarter size balls that he uses, and I'm like, you know, these NFL guys, like, this is what the ball feels like. My hands are like 9 1/4 inches. I've done the combine measurement, you know, how they measure, which is fine for a normal person, but, you know, some of these NFL quarterbacks, like 10 1/2 inches. And I pick the Nerf ball up sometimes, and I'm like, man, imagine like a regulation NFL football feeling like this in my hand. I could throw it really hard. It's just, if I just had bigger hands, right? Well, I mean, Tom Brady's throwing the ball like that. Like, he's just throwing a little toy. Just zzz, zzz, zzz. Watch it. I mean, on Sunday it was like, Ira talked about this in his podcast, how, you know, the winds weren't high and it was good conditions, and yeah, I don't know what we can expect Monday night, but just overall this season, watching Brady throw, oh, it's beautiful. It's a privilege. And he was throwing some darts there on Sunday. And he's stepping into throws because the offensive line's letting him. He's got clean pockets. And so hats off to Donovan Smith, hats off to Tristan Wirfs, hats off to the whole offensive line. I know it was against easier competition, but that's what you're supposed to do. And they did it. And Cam Brate is another one where Shay did the breakdown on Twitter. Cam Brate, first of all, had the touchdown catch. He had a big catch on third and, what was it, 19, when it looked like we were just kind of dumping it off down low, and he goes and gets the first down. Had a few big plays, but he also was used a lot in run blocking. And, you know, in the offseason, we were all like, okay, hey, Brate's a guy that's probably expendable. We got Gronkowski now. We've still got O.J. Howard. You know, there's a reason why. It's not just knowing that O.J. Howard was going to get hurt because you don't know that, but these guys can all contribute in different ways, and Cam Brate's a really good player, and now that O.J. Howard is hurt especially, the Bucs are really lucky to have him complimenting Rob Gronkowski. And, you know, if it was just Gronkowski at tight end, this offense wouldn't be what it is. I mean, there's been big contributions, not always contributions that you see, oh, he had a million catches in this game or the other, but he has contributed in spots, and again, with run blocking, which you don't see in box scores, that has been a major help to the Buccaneers, so hats off to him for a good game as well. On defense, Levante David had the highest grade of anybody on the defense for the game, and the Bucs are now the only team with 3 20-plus point wins in the season. The only other Bucs team to do that, well, in 2000, the Bucs had 4 of them. We'll see if the Bucs can get a couple more and set a team record there. And the Bucs do have the best point differential in the NFC at plus 70 points. That's despite having a 5-touchdown loss against the Saints hung around their neck last week. And now that the Saints have lost Drew Brees, not that we're rooting for that, and I don't want to see anybody get hurt, and I admire his toughness because he kept playing with those broken ribs for a little bit. But now that he's out and Jameis Winston starting over there, okay, and you know, the South doesn't look so bad. It's only a half game. And the Bucs, you know, there's a lot of work to do, but here's the thing about coming into Monday night. The Bucs have had it tough these first 10 games as far as the schedule. They had 6 road games out of the 10, three of the last four have been on the road. Bruce Arians even said that this is a tired team right now. He gave them this week off until today. Today's Thursday when I'm recording this. And normally in the NFL, when you have a regular Sunday game, you know, Monday's like an injury treatment, like, you know, that type of thing. And if you win, sometimes coaches even give you Monday off. Tuesday is a standard off day no matter what. That's like the off day in the NFL. So a lot of times when teams win on Sunday and the players are kind of, they'll be like saying, hey, coach, say the words in the post-game locker room, you know, the victory speech. And they like, say the words, coach, and he'll say, see you on Wednesday, guys. That means he's giving a Monday completely off. So when I have a Monday night game now, you get an extra day. So Bruce Arians didn't even bother. He said, just don't even come back till Thursday. You're off. Almost like a mini bye week. Because he said they needed it. And they've been, you know, again, with the airplane delay and all the traveling. And it's been tough. So it gets a little easier now. Not necessarily with the opponents, because the Rams are good. The Chiefs are coming up. And then the Vikings, those are the next three games. The Vikings are a good team now. They're not one and whatever anymore. They've won three in a row. But all three games are at home, and there's the actual bye week there too. So three home games in a row and 3 and 4 weeks with the bye week in the middle. That will help the Bucs kind of get right again, hopefully, because Bruce Arians, I mean, usually coaches don't come right out and say, yeah, oh yeah, we're a tired team. But he actually said that and has taken measurements, or not measurements, measures to help alleviate that. They're also going to start practicing at night on Friday and Saturday nights just to get used to the whole Monday night thing since they play at 8:20 on Monday. Email me if you want to. I love getting your emails. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. And looking at this Monday night game, first of all, how good does it feel to just be talking about the Bucks and the standings and possible playoff seeding and all that? Because at the 10-game mark, usually, what are we doing right now? We're talking about the draft, right? Have you thought, and maybe some of you hardcore draft people have, but you average fan, have you thought even once about the 2021 NFL draft? I have not even, I mean, it hasn't even crossed my mind. It's beautiful, isn't it? Because usually by now, on this show, in your conversations with buddies, you're already thinking, okay, who can we get? We're probably picking anywhere from 5th to 10th, depending on the who are the people we need. And you're already looking at that stuff, and it sucks. I hate talking about the draft during the season. I can't stand that. And we always do it because usually by this point, we're like 4-6 or some middling thing where you know maybe they're not terrible, but you know they're not going to make it. You just, you know, we're used to that. So it feels really good not to be talking about the draft. Some news did break out this week about Antonio Brown, which I'm so tired of the whole, I mean, it needs to be talked about. I'm not saying I don't care about this stuff, but, you know, then the news that came down was he had some issues with his HOA, and by issues, I mean he threw a bicycle and broke a security camera. But I'll say this, and I'm not getting back into all of his previous stuff. We've talked about that on other shows. But for all of Antonio Brown's dangerous and, quite honestly, nut job antics, and that's the most innocent part of it, you know, there's downright dangerous stuff he's done too. Going nuclear at your little guard shack in front of your neighborhood or your HOA like he did is probably the most relatable thing that Antonio Brown has done. I, first of all, would never live, if I could help it, in any neighborhood with an HOA. But even reading stories, you know how sometimes you'll read these odd stories on Twitter where an HOA did this, that, or the other, and some guy lost it and drove his car through the guard gate, or in Antonio Brown's case, he threw a bicycle, broke a security camera, whatever it was. So apparently, there were some issues with his yard, and I don't know the exact issues, and the HOA is saying now everything's fine. Hey, great. And then there was another issue I'm reading from the article here. Quote, one of the issues involved difficulties that visiting friends and family experienced while attempting to access a visitor gate. That and all other issues have been fully and amicably resolved, and everyone is getting along just fine. Let me add here, too, by the way, this is not something that just happened. This is something that came out this week. So this is the timeline's important because it sounds like, oh, God, Antonio Brown's at it again after the Bucks took a chance on him. This was something that Bucks knew about and moved ahead anyway. NFL seems okay with it. Whatever. But again, I'll say, most relatable thing about Antonio Brown is this. Because if I had to live, I mean, I wouldn't last more than a week or two in an HOA. And I'm not one of these, like, freedom, liberty, don't tell me what to do type people. But, like, you know, if you get on me about some completely trivial thing about the yard or the mailboxes all have to, you know, all the stupid stuff you hear about HOAs. And don't even get me started on the guard gates. Let me tell you something right now. Now, I'll get back to football in a minute, but I can't not say that. I know I'm going to piss some people off. People who live in gated communities, I don't know if it's a fear thing or what. It's funny, too, because, like, gated communities so often are in places where there is no reason that you would ever need a gated community to begin with. I mean, it'd be one thing if they had gated communities, like, in the inner city or something, you know. And I'm a South Tampa guy, and I'm not saying that to be snooty, but I've always been a city of guy, I call it. I'm not a burbs guy. I live in the city limits of Tampa. I always have. I can't guarantee I always will, but I would like to think I always will. I would never want to. I've lived when I was in my 20s. I lived in you know, other parts of town. I lived in West Chase. I've lived in Carrollwood. I loved it, okay? There was nothing wrong with that. But, like, I never lived in a gated community, first of all. And second of all, it's so funny because I've got some friends that live in the suburbs and I go to visit their houses. And, like, first of all, you drive 45 minutes on the interstate just to get up to these damn places. And then you drive another 3 miles down some gigantic 8-lane road that's in the middle of nowhere yet is incredibly busy. And then you take a turn. Then there's the guard shack. This is my favorite. You get to the guard shack and there's a gate there and you got to stop and talk to the guard and, like, give them your name. And there's a list. Your buddy's supposed to have given them your name first to make sure you're supposed to be there. Okay, cool. Let's go through the guard shack. Fine, whatever. So then you get in. Then there's little arms, like little spurs of the big subdivision, and they all have another gate, and you got to stop and roll the window down and punch a code in, and your buddy gives you the code, but, oh, did he text me the code? I forgot. And you got to do that whole thing if you don't get lucky and see someone that's going in front of you and just tailgate them and get in before the gate hits your car. The second gate always kills me. Like, I totally understand Antonio Brown just on that specific thing, not defending anything else he's done. But, like, if you live, and there's nothing wrong with these places as places, like, there's nothing wrong with living in New Tampa, there's nothing wrong with living in West Chase, or any of these places around the entire Tampa Bay area, okay? I don't want to make it sound like I'm trying to be some snooty South Tampa person. What I'm saying is, if you live in a place that is that far from the actual city area, I promise you, not a single person who doesn't live in a house there is trying to get into your neighborhood. Like, there is zero reason you need a gate if you live in New Tampa or if you live in Land O'Lakes or if you live in West Chase or they got them in Pinellas too. I don't know Pinellas as well. Nobody's trying to get to where you live. Even the people that are supposed to be coming to visit, you don't want to go up there. Much less people that don't have anybody they know. Nobody's going to come break into your car. Nobody's going to come to your neighborhood, period. You live in the middle of nowhere. And they've got two gates. It's amazing. Like, to me, it's amazing. And people, I know people who, like, they won't live in a neighborhood without a gate. They're like, oh, it's got to have a gate. It's not safe without a gate. Like, you actually think you're safer, or I should say, you actually think you're less safe without a gate. I promise you, if you live up there, you can put the house anywhere you want to. Nobody's going to bother you, okay? That's why you live in the suburbs, I presume. And I'm not trying to start a suburbs versus the city war type thing here or anything, but I don't even have this. Family live in the suburbs, friends, it's fine. I've done it before myself. But God Almighty with the gates. I mean, get over yourselves. Believe me, nobody's trying to get up there. I promise. You don't need the gate. And half the time, it's broken and they just leave it open, which is good. They should do that more often. It's safety theater. It's this false sense of security because people are always thinking about what they're supposed to be afraid of. So with that, Antonio Brown is fine. The Bucs say they're cool, and he has helped out. Even returned some punts the other day. Looking at the role he'll play on Monday night and all the Bucs receivers, the main thing that jumps out to me about Monday night, first of all, on offense, when the Bucs have the ball, I mean, Jalen Ramsey is really good for the Rams. He's only one guy, though. He allows a little over half a yard per coverage snap. That's second among all corners in the NFL. So no questioning him. He's very good. But he's only one guy, and he can only take away one receiver at a time. That'd probably be Mike Evans most of the time. And it was good to see the Bucks start targeting him a little more, although I still would like to see more. But even if he doesn't, that gives, again, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Gronkowski, even Cameron Brate all chances to shine. I don't know what Ali Marpet's status is yet, but they really do need him. This defensive front is definitely better than what they saw against Carolina. If you look at DVOA, in fact, and that's just DVOA, defensively, the Rams are 8th in the NFL. They're 9th overall. They're 5th offensively and 8th defensively. So a pretty balanced team. And, you know, you look at last year's Bucks-Rams game where the Bucks won 55-40, set a franchise record for points scored over there in the Coliseum in Los Angeles. And I don't think this game will be like that, given that the defenses for both teams are much, much better than they were a year ago. And you know, Aaron Donald, you hear all about that. So it'll be big to have Ali Marpet if they can get him. Given what they'll be facing across from them. On defense, when the Rams have the ball, when the Bucks are on defense, Jared Goff, who when he came out in the draft, I was like, this guy, when I saw on Hard Knocks that he was genuinely like surprised to learn that the sun rose in the east and set in the west, I kind of wrote him off. Which wouldn't you write anybody off in any, I guess even quarterback, you know, it's not necessarily neurosurgeon, but you expect a certain level of, you know, knowing things like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So when he said he didn't know that, or like he had just learned that when somebody said it, I admit I probably should have given him another chance, but it was hard not to just completely write him off. And I, you know, coming from the Pac-12, I was like, yeah, this guy, you know, he'll just be another guy. He's been pretty good making the Super Bowl, and I think he's got the most wins of any quarterback in the past few years, or he's in the top two or three. And part of that is because of Goff. Part of that is because of how well-coached the Rams are. But Goff is only hitting a 39% completion percentage under pressure. And obviously completion percentages under pressure are lower than completion percentages in general. But even with that said, 39% is one of the lower ones in the league. And now he's left tackle. He's got left tackle Andrew Whitworth. The veteran is out. Even as old as Whitworth is, I don't want to say he's old, but, you know, at his advanced age in his football career, he was leading all tackles in pass block efficiency before he came out. Now, that left tackle position is, you know, you'd love to see Shaq Barrett chow a little bit, but Shaq Barrett's usually on the left side of the defense, so it's the opposite side. It'd be more JPP going up against the backup left tackle for the Rams. And even sometimes, if you noticed, Lavonte David, they had a couple 3-4 looks on Sunday against Carolina. I don't know if they'll do this again Monday night, but they had Lavonte David out there on the edge as the outside linebacker, and they had JPP as the inside linebacker. Greg Allman tweeted some pictures of it if you go to his Twitter account. So that's something to keep an eye on. The Bucs secondary is going to have their hands full. You've got Cooper Kupp is a really good slot receiver, and it worries me a little bit with the Sean Murphy-Bunting matchup. Murphy Bunting is right now 23rd amongst qualifying nickelbacks, and there's only, I think, 25 of them that have qualified with the amount of snaps needed. He's 23rd in yards allowed per coverage snap. So he's been kind of one of the weaker spots, to say it nicely, on the Bucs defense. And I'm worried about what Cooper Kupp can do with that matchup. So that's something to keep an eye on with the Rams, if, especially as well coached as they are. And I believe this is the first time, for me personally, and probably for Tom Brady too, I'm 40, Tom Brady's 43, we're both older than all three of these guys. The head coach of the Rams, Sean McVay, who's 34, the offensive coordinator, Kevin O'Connell, who's 35, and the defensive coordinator of the Rams, Brandon Staley, who's 37. Brady's at least 6 years older than all of those guys. Has that ever happened before with a starting quarterback has been older than all three of the, you know, the top three coaches on the other team, head coach and both coordinators? There's no way that's happened before. But they're good. These guys are good. You know, they got hired at this young age for a reason. And so, you know Sean McVay's going to come up with ways to exploit that Buccaneer defense. And Carlton Davis is someone who you could even say, well, how about he shadows inside a little bit, but he's not an inside guy. So it's going to be up to Murphy Bunting to try and lock down Cooper Kupp, and I'm a little worried about that whole matchup. But we'll see how it goes. It's Monday night. It's a home game on Monday night, which they haven't had in a couple years. They played the Giants earlier this year, but they hosted the Falcons a couple years ago. I remember that one. I'm going to try to go to this one too. I want to be there. I want to take my son if possible. It's Thanksgiving break, so even though he's only 9 and that's pretty late, there's no school, so it might work out. We'll see. But either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. And anytime you get these opportunities, it's a little bit more fun than just a regular old Sunday at 1 o'clock game. So looking at the situation, speaking of being on Monday night, I mean, we assume everything's going to be okay. The Rams did have a little bit of a COVID thing going on with a positive test. Not a player, I believe, but as of now, it looks like everything's okay. The game's still on for Monday. No additional positives have been reported. League-wide, though, you know, one, we've got an uptick in numbers on this COVID thing right now. And two, we're getting down to it now where there's not going to be any weeks left to put games. Everybody's there's one more week of bye weeks this week for four teams. And then after that, everybody in the NFL will have had their bye week except the Bucs and the Panthers, who are in 2 weeks. So it's kind of weird the way they're doing it this year. But usually they have them all out of the way by Thanksgiving. This year, just two teams, again, Bucs and Panthers, are after that. So after Sunday, everybody else will have had their bye week. So they can't mess around anymore. So what the league is doing is basically they're going on advanced COVID protocol, and they're going to essentially have every team act as if there is COVID in their building right now and stay with that procedure the rest of the way, no matter what. It was reported starting this Saturday, all NFL teams must operate under the league's intensive COVID-19 protocols for the remainder of this season. And that was according to a memo sent out Wednesday around the league that was also made available to the media. Quote, "It has been said many times that our 2020 season cannot be normal because nothing about this year is normal, according to Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner. Flexibility and adaptability have been critical." It's adaptability, but either way, they've been critical to our success to date, and we must continue with that approach. So the requirements basically make it so that you got virtual team meetings now. You're not going to have them all in the same room. Masks all the time by all players and staff when they're inside or even outside during practice for the non-players. And it's something that 28 of the teams have already had to do at some point this year, but they're all going to do it now the rest of the way. So it's a pain in the ass, for sure. But we're getting to the point where we really can't, you know, there was room to move a little bit earlier in the season, and they've done a great job with it. Every game so far has been played now, not all on schedule, but every game's been played, and they want to keep it that way. And as we've talked about on the show before, there is the opportunity to move the playoffs, move the Super Bowl back a week or two or even three if they need to, and hopefully it doesn't come to that, but they are planning as if it's possible, and they are trying to also prevent it from happening by doing stuff like this. So I don't think, you know, it's not like the Sunday night game where all they did was change a game time. To change the day of a game is a lot bigger deal, and they're not going to do that unless there's really, really a reason. And right now, according to everything we know, it doesn't appear as if it's a big problem just because the Rams happen to have a positive test. So let's hope it stays that way. As far as everything else, it's your pre-Thanksgiving weekend. Have some fun. I won't be missing any more shows. I apologize for that. Although next week, being a holiday week, I'll have to find some time to do it when I can actually get some alone time. Because I'm basically never alone if my kids aren't in school. It's the only time I'm alone. Otherwise, I literally have people around at all times. And they have lots of questions, and they all want to know what I'm doing. They're up in my business, and I don't complain about it because I'll miss it one day. But we'll get it figured out. Either way, right now, we got some Monday Night Football coming up. And we got a fun week in the NFL before that, and we have a fun week of college football as well. To all the high school kids out there, if you're in the playoffs this week, good luck to all of you. Thanks to our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford. Go see them at BillCurryFord.com or check them out a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. Thanks to the Joes, always, for giving me this platform on the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere on the internet or anywhere, period, JoeBucksFan.com. And thanks to all of you for listening as well. That's your Week 11 show. We'll be back after the Monday night game at some point next week to hash it all out. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.